We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. And I have the privilege of Merritt Assembly of God for almost 24 years now. Here in a few weeks, it'll be 24 years. And boy, has time flown. Boy, has our country changed. And so we have much, much work to do. I want to take you today in the Word. First of all, I want to invite you out to our services this Sunday morning, and then also to let you know that we are going to be giving away several Thanksgiving dinners to those who may be in need on a week from Sunday. That'll be the Sunday before Thanksgiving. But in years past where we've gone out and adopted a block and gone to neighborhoods, we're going to ask people who are in need of Thanksgiving baskets to come to the church that day. And if more people show up than what we have baskets, then we will get those baskets and deliver them to you that day. We also have a Thanksgiving dinner after our morning service that day where we provide the turkey. We ask other people to come and bring whatever side dish they may have. So those things are coming up. Today we have our kids going to youth convention and our youth group, and we're excited about that and what God is going to do in their lives. But we do have our normal service schedule this Sunday morning: Sunday school 9:30, worship service 10:30, children's church 10:30, and then our Sunday evening service at 6:30, where we have missionaries Sam and Shelley Bowden, who will be with us and share what God has been doing with them over the past 4 years. Let's get into the Word right now, if we can. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 7. It says, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have for my hand. You shall lie down in torment." That concludes Isaiah chapter 50. And verse number 7, it says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced." Dis meaning not, graced meaning favor. We will not be ashamed. We will not find ourselves out of favor. And like I've said before, this is talking about Jesus. Verse number 6 talks about the indignities that he suffered on his way to the cross, where they struck him on the back, they pulled his beard out of his cheeks, and they spit upon him. All of those things that Jesus went through on his way to the cross. But here in verse number 7, it says, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. I will not be out of favor. I will not be ashamed." And so I want you to know that Jesus went to the cross not a defeated, isolated individual like most people did who went to the cross. He went there as a man on a mission, as a God on a mission. And that was to redeem you and I. He went there to fulfill the will of God, not to pay the price for his sins, for he had no sins. We had sins that we could not pay for. He went there and paid for our sins. He went there with God helping him. And I want you to know that no matter how intense the storm you may be facing today, that the first thing that you and I need to assess is to make sure that our relationship with God is in righteous order. We are in right standing with God, that we know that God is for us, not against us, that we know that he is working for us, that he is helping us. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one called alongside to help, he is there not just in the good times, but he is there in the bad times. You remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He had lots of friends in the good times, but when his money was gone and his resources were gone, suddenly he didn't have anybody hanging out with him in the pig pen. And there are a lot of people who are fair weather fans. The Chicago Cubs just won the World Series here a week or so ago. 108 years they had experienced heartbreak, and you know, their theme was wait till next year. I'm very familiar with their story because my wife is from Chicago, and when I was a youth pastor in that area, we took our youth group to see the Cubs games. By the way, one of the coldest days I have ever experienced in my life. I don't think I have ever been colder than I was when I was in Chicago. Even when I went to a Green Bay Packers game several years ago, I was nowhere near as cold on that day as I was when we lived in Chicago. 25 below zero 1 year, 27 below zero the next year, and the wind chill factor was 85 below zero. That's cold. That's a good reason not to live in Chicago. I'm just saying. But those Cubs, they have a lot of fans now that they are doing well, but there were a lot of fans who were there not just during the good times, but they were there during the bad times. I want you to know that God is a believer in you, not just when things are going well in your life, but when you are going through the test of all tests, when you are going through a trial like you've never gone through it before. He is there not as a silent observer, but as a helper, a leader, a guider, an empowerer. He's one who speaks into your life saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the one who says, I have been through worse than this. If you will stick with me, we will get you through this. So I want to challenge you today. Don't go through your trials alone. Instead, depend upon the help of God. Cry out to him and say, you know what? There might be some moments in this where things do not look as well as I would like, but I will not be ashamed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If you and I will live a persuaded life as to how secure everything that we have placed in the hands of God are, then we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed. There's a reason why I don't support individuals, and that's because there's only one individual who will never let me down, and his name is Jesus. There is a reason why, in spite of the fact that many people have offered me to be part of multi-level sales situations, that I say no to every one of them. It's not because I couldn't use the financial help, but I want my reputation to be based upon my relationship with Jesus, and I don't want someone rejecting my Savior because they didn't like a product that I endorsed. So I want you to know today, you and I can, if we have a vibrant, healthy relationship with Jesus, we do not have to be ashamed of him. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So don't be ashamed to be a Christian. I encourage you to be confident in your relationship with Jesus, knowing that he is going to work out all things together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Rest assured that God has everything under control. Because of those two facts, that God would help him, and because God was going to help him, there was not going to be any shame. And listen, death on a cross was a humiliating aspect. There, in spite of all of the pictures that you have seen, they still do not do justice to the humiliation that was poured out upon those people who hung up on a cross. It was the ultimate in humiliation. They didn't care about whether or not you were clothed or not. They preferred that everything about your life was exposed. That way they were able to not only punish you, but they were able to intimidate everybody else and say, if you don't toe the line, this is what's going to happen to you, and you don't want to have this happen to you. Jesus endured all the shame that came with the cross, and he did it because of the joy that was set on the other side of the cross for him. So I encourage you today, don't be afraid. And then it says this, therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. So I want to talk to you today, and we'll see how far this goes. I want to talk to you about living a resolved life. Living a resolved life. It says, therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. You and I are not called to be double-minded. We are not called to be influenced by our emotions or our circumstances. We are called to live a resolute life, a fixed life, where we set our face with determination that said, this is what we are going to accomplish, and it doesn't matter who opposes us, how many oppose us, it doesn't matter what's going to take place. We are going to fulfill the destiny, the plan, and the call that God has for us. Too many people live their life, especially their Christian life, based upon convenience. We had our chili cook-off this last Sunday. I did not win. I came in second. And that's okay. You know, I went several years ago when we started this, we were looking to create something that would have a little bit of friendly competition about it. And so I didn't go home and cry. I didn't go home and throw a temper tantrum. I got to eat chili. So it was a good night. We had seven different chilies that were presented. Amanda is the one who won. Her chili got the most votes. We had votes for first place, second place, and third place with different point values. And she got the most first place votes, and she got the most points overall. And so congratulations to her. It was also her birthday, and she posted on my wall, thank you for letting me win on my birthday. And I got news for you. I didn't let my kids ever win at anything. I didn't let her win. If she won, it's because her chili pleased the palate of more people than mine did. But we had a great turnout on that. But somebody was asking me, well, how many chilies are we going to have tonight? And I said, I don't know. I'll be able to tell you when everybody shows up. There's not an entry fee or anything like that. We give away a crock pot as a prize. And so that's what we did. But I said, we'll know how many people brought chili when they start bringing out the samples and they say that was the last one. Other people ask me, they said, do you know if so-and-so is going to be at church? And for the most part, I can tell you generally, I don't know who's coming to church until church that day of who's going to be there or who's not going to be there. You see, there are a lot of times that people are out of town. That's understandable. There are times when people are ill and they can't make it to church. But there are a lot of times that people just don't go to church. They just don't get up. They don't get around. It is more about convenience for them. And I'm not talking about Merit Assembly of God here. I'm talking about the attitude that people have to church. And so they don't have a resolve in them. And a lot of times I'm tempted to whenever people, if they say, well, you know, I just didn't make it last week. I was running a little late or whatever. And a lot of times I'm tempted to say, would that excuse work for me? Because if not, that's a double standard. And they say, well, you're the pastor. You've got to be there. You're a child of God. You need to be in the house of God. You and I, we need to have a greater resolve, a greater resolution about living our Christian life. I believe that the days of cultural Christianity are coming to an end, that it is a time for committed Christianity to be lived by committed Christians that says we've done it this way when it was easy, but now it is time for the committed. It's time for those of resolve to live for their God and do great exploits. So I want to talk to you about living a resolved life, and we're going to talk about several passages. We'll come back to Isaiah at the conclusion of this, but I want to take you to Luke chapter 9, and in verse number 49 it says, while he was still Luke chapter 9, let me get to the right place, verse number 51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Most of the time when we read about this passage, we focus on the aspect that James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven and burn up the village because they had treated Jesus so indignantly. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God doesn't burn up with fire every village that treats Jesus indignantly, or none of us would have lived long enough to come to a place of repentance. So I'm thankful for the mercy of God. If you have not said yes to Jesus right now, you can thank God for his great mercy. But the real important passage of this scripture is that Jesus knew that the time for him to be received up had come. He knew that his death was ready, that it was getting ready to take place, that he was getting ready to be crucified, he was getting ready to be buried, and then he was getting ready to be raised up to the right hand of the Father. And instead of doing like Jonah did when God had commanded him to go and preach to the Ninevites, a people he did not want to preach to, because he knew that God would change their nation and change their community, and Jonah abandoned the call of God and ran as fast as he could, paid for a ship fare so that he could go in the opposite direction of what God wanted him to go. Instead of having that mindset, Jesus said, I am going to set myself steadfastly. My face is going to be pointed in the direction of fulfilling God's destiny, and it will not change. It doesn't matter how other people treat me. I'm going to the destiny that God has for me. There are so many people that they are willing to abandon their cause over just the least little bit of opposition, or if someone challenges their perspective. Can I encourage you today to allow God to make you as bold as a lion when it comes to fulfilling the call and the destiny that God has upon your life? But just because God has called you doesn't mean that you can have a lackadaisical attitude about it. You need to live a resolute life. You need to have your face pointed in the right direction, and you are pursuing that goal with everything that you have inside of you. What is it that God has called you to do. I know he's called you to be a soul winner. We just had a revival here a couple of weeks ago, and it was very much about the theme that was coming out was that God wanted to use the people of Merit Assembly of God to touch others with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that darkness would be defeated because people would touch one another. They would touch other people who are living in darkness with the light, and the darkness has to flee. Darkness never overpowers light. Light always overpowers darkness. And so it's not a select group of people that are called to do that. It is every born again believer. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. It's very clear that God wants you and I to be wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and so we need to begin there, and we need not stop until we have touched as many lives as possible, showing them that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. And so we can't be distracted by other people. We can't be distracted by temptation. We have got to keep ourselves focused and set our eyes where they're supposed to be. Do you realize that when you're driving a car, that if you take your eyes off of the road and you start focusing on something to your right or to your left, whatever you focus on, the way that your body operates is you're going to begin to inadvertently steer the vehicle towards what you have fixed your eyes on. So you and I, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, and we need to set our... See, it doesn't just say that one time. It says it again. It says verse number 53, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. The truth of the matter is that if you and I are pursuing the plan and the purpose and the destiny and the call of God upon our lives, some people are not going to like that. You know, where one Samaritan village, when Jesus ministered to them, the whole village came to Jesus. This village, they did not receive him because they did not like his destination. He was going to Jerusalem. And Samaritans and the Jewish people, they did not have the greatest relationship. They didn't like one another. They would go around villages instead of building relationships with them. The truth of the matter was Jesus could have done for this village what he did for the other Samaritan village in John chapter 4, but they did not receive him because they did not like his destination. And it didn't change his resolve a single bit. So today, I ask you, you know, the election's in the rearview mirror. Has your resolve changed? I hope so. I hope it's intensified. Everything that God does, he does to bring us from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. I have this saying that I have the gift of stubborn. Now, when my grandmother was alive, I went and visited her in the hospital. She was 96 and a half at the time. And I went to visit her. They said her time has come. She's running out of strength. Her heart's giving out. And if you want to see her, you need to come now. And so I hopped on a plane from Florida and flew to Tulsa. And my uncle, he hopped on a plane from where he lives and he flew into Tulsa. And we were about 45 minutes apart. And the family was all in the intensive care unit. And so my folks said, why don't you just wait and ride with your uncle? And so I did, and that gave us some time to talk. And he and I walked into the room together, And all of a sudden, something happened in that room. And that 96-and-a-half-year-old woman who was being told that she wasn't going to live, that instead she was going to be passing away, when her son walked in and I walked in and all the rest of the family was there, all of a sudden there was something that took place in her, and she said this: I have such a wonderful family that I have decided that I am not going to die right now, that I am going to live and I'm going to get better. That was on a Tuesday. And on Friday, she went home from the hospital. Today, I want to encourage you not to focus on negative words of doom and gloom that people may have spoken to you about the plan or the purpose that God has, and how far away it is from being accomplished. Today, I want to speak to you and say, let God do a transformative work in your heart, and let Him give you the gift of stubborn, not against the things of God, but for the things of God, saying the gospel is not going to die at my hands. I will not be the last generation of my family to live for the glory of God. I am resolved to pass this truth on to my kids and to my grandkids. I am going to fulfill the purpose of God. The curse of the enemy will not prevail. The blessing of my God will prevail. I am not giving up. And if there are people who don't like it, they can not like it. They don't have to receive me, but I am going to fulfill the mission that God has for me. Merit Assembly of God is going to fulfill the mission that God has for it. We will set our face like a flint. We will set our face steadfastly to fulfill the purpose and the call of God. I want to challenge you. I want to invite you to live a resolute life instead of one where you just do whatever you feel like doing at the moment. That's a lazy way to live. God's got a better way to live, and that is living for a purpose. Father, I just pray right now in the name of the Lord that this week, Lord, that you would cause a whole new level of commitment to arise in your people. Lord, that we will know our God, that we will do great exploits, that we will proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. We will live out His word. We will say yes to your plan and your purpose, and we will not be discouraged, and we will not be turned away just because someone is displeased with us. We want to be pleasing in your sight. See you Monday, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away to purify my heart. Don't wanna lose the eternal for the things that are passing.
'Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my world?